Now we'll launch in like professionals. Because
we're ready for it.
Because you are going to be exciting and I am going to be immensely boring.
Don't believe that for a second, Dennis.
Already, but see, already, we already know this isn't your first.
But the off-camera rodeo stuff is part of the joy. And nobody knows what happened. Nobody knows like what I witnessed as I was entering this particular venue.
Oh, yes.
I witnessed something very unique. Do we want to talk about it?
We can talk about it. I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, let's talk about it. Go ahead.
Well, I came out the bathroom with only one shoe on, and so I met Dennis with a...
It was sexy.
With a naked foot.
My girlfriend will not like hearing about this,
the naked foot.
Well, the other platform tonight,
you didn't,
still
you didn't mention that your the foot of the other pants or of your tights
by the
is
way,
just sort of ripped up.
You know, album number two, The Naked Foot.
The Naked Foot.
I think that is the name of album number two.
Never say never.
Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Max.
I'm Lizzie.
And
you're
Ms.
in this
Mister.
Thing called Ms. Mister.
We are.
Amazing. What town is Vassar in?
Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie.
Spell
see,
it.
I can.
Can you?
Yes, I can. P-O-U-G-H-K-E-E-P-S-I-E.
Well done.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because I grew up in Spring Valley, New York, right, just below Poughkeepsie
so
on the other
go.
Side
awesome,
of the Hudson
yeah.
River. So Vassar. So this equals that. Let's go over all the stuff that we're not going to talk about. You met in classes. You didn't really know each other that well, but you were in classes together. But somehow it just like didn't connect, right? And then you formed this Neon Gold thing mm-hmm. with some decent artists, which we'll talk
well,
about.
I think so.
We'll go down that road. And then you went to dance school. And next thing you know, she said, was it that she sent you? And this goes about 25 different ways. She sent you a list of bands or artists or songs. Which one was it? I want to make sure we're correct.
I think it was
accurate.
Individual singers who are not quite yet artists or bands or anything yet, but had the potential.
Ah, so non-existent. This the list of non-existent mm-hmm. singers.
Pretty much. I mean, they.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it. And then, but then you go below the line, and next thing you know, with Vassar, they're smart. So these are not. He's like, hey, man, we want to make a record.
I mean, I was just a college kid, so what
do
I know,
just
you know?
A college kid. Yeah, just a, I know.
Yeah, I think you, I think there's a big part of the story, actually, that you're missing out on.
I probably
I'm
am.
I'm so glad we finally have an opportunity to bring it to light.
Because, like, this was sort of the palatable version, because we were just embarrassed that we met on Craigslist. We were both on dates.
We were going on blind dates.
Basically, yeah, via Craigslist, and we're both stood up by our respective dates, and ended up in a restaurant just facing each other at opposite tables, and I don't know, just there was some spark in the air, and I think Lizzie sent over a glass of champagne to my table.
It was probably a bottle of Jim Beam. Something classic like that.
Jim Beam.
And,
at least it wasn't a bottle of PBR.
Well, I mean, yeah. Step above. And yeah, the spark was struck there. And
now that was really good. So now I have to see if you're pulling the lie card or the sincerity card on me.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Wow. No one will ever know.
No
that
one
was
will ever
whichever
know.
One that was really, really good. This headlining thing is pretty darn fast. This is impressive.
Thank you.
Did you
still 2 years fast? I mean,
so here's the perception reality of everything. Everybody thinks this just happened, right? Now, even when I saw you at South by Southwest, which I saw you in the club there on. It was pretty sweaty. I remember that. And the sound, you had sound issues, but I don't
remember.
Do you remember
what show was?
It was, I always.
The one where Lizzie was wearing balls on her t-shirt?
No, not that one.
Not that one.
It was the one, it was afternoon. It was probably 3 p.m. or 4 p.m.
Was it in a courtyard?
No, it wasn't in the courtyard, although I did see you in the courtyard. But this was the show before that. This was on the same street Stubbs is on. But let's talk about 2 years, because people just think, poof, it happened. And every interview you read, it's like, instant sensations, internet heroes, blah, blah, blah. So talk about that 2 years.
Definitely. I mean, even before the 2 years, or how long have we been on the road? 2 years?
A year and a half.
Year and a
so
half.
It's been...
You know, we put in time a year and a half before that of just Max and I writing. And we wrote in isolation, just the two of us, for a really long time. And, you know, we didn't go into this with the mindset that we were going to be a band. We were just writing on a track-by-track basis because we both loved music around around dance and a love around my day job.
And I know it's become sort of part of the lore of Miss Mister, but it is like, it was very true. We did not know what we were doing at all at the very beginning and sort of just happened to have this awesome connection about music. And so I think we needed that time to really develop and sort of figure out who we were first off.
So that was sort of a precious time period of just writing. And then, you know, we got to a point where we had a body of material and we decided to release it to the world. And then sort of came the next sort of level decisions of getting a manager, choosing a label, and what we wanted this project to turn into. And at that point, you know, we decided that we wanted to be a band, and since we were going to do it, we were going to be as ambitious and aspirational about it as possible, because that's who we are.
With no energy whatsoever. None. There's no energy in this room between the three of us. It's a mellow, wow, cloud of smoke. I don't think so.
But then the conversation of, you know, how are we going to do the show? You know, we hadn't recorded with the intention of what it was going to be like to perform these songs live, and we knew that we did not want two people on stage with a laptop, that would undermine the scope of the music. And so spending several months working to get the live show to a place that we were comfortable with. I mean, how long did we take? How long did we practice
before
our show?
It was a while, at least 6 months.
So 6 months of practice before one show, before having ever played in a band before or sung in front of people.
So, and then we signed a record deal really early as well. We signed before we'd ever played a show. And so that I think gave us the sort of stability and, I don't know, a little impulse to concentrate on it and be, you know, and be like, yes, we're making this statement of, you know, wanting to make this a long-term thing and having sort of global ambitions for what we're doing.
And one of the things that you're quoted about is over and over again is that you kept it a secret, that you really tried to kind of keep it under wraps.
Our best friends didn't know it was happening.
But that's not easy to do in this lovely age we're in.
It wasn't.
So your
wasn't.
Facebook posts must have been really boring. Not doing anything today.
Well, I mean, the fact is we did everything around our schedules. We still made time for everything else. There were, you know, no sacrifices in that. Everything was a balance, and we made time for it because we cared about it, and it meant everything to us.
So from a small closet, I'm going to do this in the full announcer voice.
Do it.
From a small closet in Brooklyn to Electric Lady Studios.
Yep.
I think they were sort of like extremely advanced demos that we did in the studio of my house. But what I'm most proud of about that is that all of the vocals, we didn't re-record, we recorded like two lines from two different songs, but all the vocals we recorded on a $250 mic in my apartment. And we went in with Tom Elmhurst, who's mixed Adele and Amy Winehouse and all these big people. And I was like, do we need to re-record all the vocal parts? And he was like, no, they sound great to me. So that felt like a, I don't know, some sort of testament to what we'd done already. And then all of the main parts were already there.
No, but I think those demos that we brought into Electric Lady were more than demos. Because until the point where we decided we were getting it mixed, we thought we'd pretty much finished the record. I mean, we thought we were turning in a finished thing. And I think what was really exciting about the process of going to Electric Lady was, you know, it was all recorded on a keyboard, a computer, and a microphone. And for Max to suddenly be playing certain things on real instruments and to have that experience in a real studio and hear the music on really, really loud speakers and hear how we can tweak everything. And Tom just made the record more us. I don't think he inherently changed the identity of the music or made them different songs. He just made them the better versions of themselves in a way that at that point in time, we weren't artistically capable of.
So how do you, and I'm saying this not facetiously, I'm going to be serious, like, how do you get away with that? Because you signed with big label.
Yeah, but, you know, first, Tom was not the producer, and that was, you know, we were emphatic from the beginning that I was producing the album, and I did produce the album. Tom did some additional production, but most of it from the very beginning was, you know, just re-recording parts on live keyboards and live organs and things, and Tom really helped us sort of evolve that. But again, he didn't really put his stamp on it. He has this incredible ability to bring out the elements of it that make it, I don't know, make it unique and the core things that felt like identified it as our music. Those were the things that he brings out. And so it never felt like, for me as an emerging producer, I felt like it was perfect for me to sort of have someone who could take it to that next level and sort of show me where these ideas could go if I, you know, could educate myself a little bit more and, you know, spend more time in real studios with real equipment. So that, I think, was a perfect sort of first step. And along those lines, we were really emphatic with the label. We made some very distinctive choices from the very beginning that really let them know that we weren't going to be pushed around, that we had absolute control over the project and we weren't willing to let that go.
And that's been true about everything you've seen, everything you've heard. We completely created the music, the environment, the art that surrounds our project. And I think that's really inspiring and contemporary to now. And we are definitely a modern DIY pop band in that way. And I think this wouldn't have been possible even a few years ago. And I think our sort of sense of self and ability to translate that across all different sort of mediums and platforms, but also the power that we took with the label, you know, we're in full control of this project.
Buzz takes you where you need to go. Three nights in a major market, right? But sold out. But Buzz doesn't provide anything beyond that first level of reality. And this is not like we're making a project and we're going to like make this record and then we're going to do 64 other things, correct?
Absolutely.
Buzz and hype feed into an element of the now. You know, to claim something as a buzz band or as a hype band is, I think, is almost an insult because it puts them in like an overnight success box where people don't believe that they'll have the chance to be like a long-term artist. And for us, we've been very appreciative to have buzz and hype. It means that people are excited and talking about you. But for us, we want to be doing this for the rest of our lives. What we're always trying to make clear is that we're setting the foundations now so that we can do this for the rest of our lives and that we'll be here 2, 3, 4 albums in, that we're not of the moment. We're, I don't know, for longer.
And we said, you know, we stated that at the very beginning. I think it's been, again, it does feel overnight, like I think, to people who are just discovering us, but it has been a really sort of gradual climb. I think Hurricane's the best example of that.
So what happens when, and I'm going to do this, and you'll never forget I asked you this years down the road. What happens, or maybe not, what happens when the now kind of turns around? When reviews say things like, Ms. Mister's desire to give music a usual analog is interesting, but you wonder about their ability to create a record that can be listened to on its own or from the same place, just to continue it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We hit us with it.
Ms. Mister have a Tumblr, but it hasn't been updated in 10 months. It's all well and good having a I love this. This is my favorite line because I write for a living and I kill these people every day. A pristine launch strategy, but it means nothing if you can't follow it with something that invites genuine engagement.
You know, first of all, I think criticism, like, teach their own. And at the heart of this project, you know, Max and I made music that we love and we stand by first. And for us, the music has been to the forefront of this relationship and this project since the beginning. We are musicians. We are in a band. It's all about the music. And I think because of our appreciation for classic songwriting and, like, as we said before, like a real pop hook, you know, creating something that felt unique to us and sort of inherently contemporary because this is the time that we are making music, that at the end of the day, we wanted to create music that people from sort of all different age groups and all different cultures and could listen to, and that this music could stand the test of time. And I feel proud of that. I think we really did create music that is sort of timeless in that way. And that was something that we did talk about, and especially with Tom as a mixer. And I think his touch as a mixer, he often works with artists that are sort of inherently timeless, and that's a nod of approval on his end, but I think also his touch. So for us, fine that you think that, but I don't think it's accurate.
This is also the you know, these are the very first songs we've ever written. Bones was the first song Lizzie had ever written, and it was maybe the 10th I'd ever done. So this is the very first step for what we hope is going to be a really long-term thing. And I think it's really exciting that we sort of are offering up these very first songs, and the people who find us now are coming in on the project at the very, very beginning. And I love the idea that, what you know, in whatever 30 years when we have 10 albums, fingers crossed, you know, people can come, we'll have this catalog from the very, very beginning and have sort of these fence posts of everything that we've done.
But also, once, I have never not spent 10 months not updating. It's pretty daily. It's pretty obsessive. So obviously, you're not a real Miss Mister Sounds Tumblr fan.
So when you were starting all of this, did you ever really think you'd be sitting here and going, wow, you know, this is working. This is pretty. This is kind of, you know, do you wake up in the morning and say, I don't have to work my day job anymore, even though I like my day job?
Totally.
It's been,
I think I've worked living in a constant state of disbelief and like self-pinching. It's hard work, but it's the dream, you know? Your music is being heard by as many people as possible, and that so many people love something that we already loved is really validating and special.
I've said it a million times, but we wrote the music that we wrote because we liked it and we liked doing it, and the process itself was wholly self-satisfying and it was exciting for us to do. And we didn't think about writing a record. We didn't think about things as an album, really. We didn't think of it in terms of like where it might go. And so everything else after that sort of incredible first year of writing together has been sort of a cherry on top. And I feel like because we never got our expectations up, we've never been disappointed when something doesn't happen, and we're just sort of constantly delighted at all the good things that are happening.
Like 3 sold out nights at the Independent.
It's wild.
That's crazy.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich. Okay. And it's 2 of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.